Good evening. Today is March 4th, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is A Vision for You, and our speaker tonight is Lewis S. Thanks, Lewis. Take it away.
Hi everyone. My name's Lewis. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm a straight up junkie with food. I have a friend who says it more eloquently, right? She says, you know, like she ate like Bill drank. And you know, for me, when I ate, it was in a very disturbing manner. I ate in a very disturbing way. I could tell you stuff about, like, you know, maybe some drinking stories and, you know, maybe have a laugh or whatever. But, you know, if you had asked me how, what I was doing in the parking lot of that grocery store or what I was throwing out in the dumpster behind my building, I was not interested in talking about that. If you're asking me why it would take me so long to get home after work, you know, it's, you know, I'm not going to tell you that it's because I was making like a, you know, you know, map of the stars of all my favorite fast food places. I had zero interest in talking about that. I'm really glad to be here today. And if you're listening to the recording, I'm going to show some pictures. You know, if you want to know what they look like, you know, hit me up. My number's all over the place. You can find it in your nearest bathroom stall. Let's see. Let me share some pictures real quick. I forgot how to do this. There we go. Share screen. So you know, there's no better proof than you know, me being a person with this spiritual malady that manifests itself, you know, through the food and what it does to my body in these photos. You know, here I am, well over 380 plus pounds. You know, you could see just, you know, I'm doing some fun things in this in these photos. But I can promise you that I don't remember what's going on. I don't remember a lot of these days. I was just plowing through life to get through things. You know, let me just get through this and I can, you know, go on to the next thing and I can worry about the next thing. You know, here you can see I have no neck. I thought layers and nice clothes would help. They did not. Here you go. Here's some small guy pictures. You're like, who's this? That's Lewis. But, you know, take a look at the eyes on this guy. He's nuts. There's nothing behind those eyes. There's a lot of resentment going on in those eyes. There's a lot of self-will. There is a lot of, I got this and I'll do it myself. And what happens, right? I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know what happens when life gets hard, right? When you know, you say like, you know, anything, right? Life gets hard, and all of a sudden, the stuff you've been doing doesn't work anymore. Food comes a knocking, and then I look like this again. Right? And I thought I could hide how fat I was behind this counter. You be the judge if it worked or not. But again, unhappy. Clothes didn't do it. But let me show you this good stuff, right? Because this is what I have today. And this is sort of why I wanted to show these pictures with talking about a vision for you. You know, there are friends and people that I love in these photos, fellows, you know, practically family. They are family, people that I love and care about. Some of the people are in this room today, and some even have their cameras on. and, you know, here's some more. Look at the things we get to do. Look at the things we get to do. But what did it take, right? What was my starting point? Just oh, for some more context, I have 7 years, about 9 months of continuous abstinence. I'm a 100 pounder. You know, I always like to say that I'm a habitual reality denier because I love to fill in the blanks on what I think the story is, right? I like to tell you, no, they definitely don't like me. Or you know, they're definitely, you know, think I'm not good at my job. You know, they're mad at me for something. I could tell, and I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know anything today. But so anyway, so with those pictures, you know, I love my life today. I'm content. I sleep like a baby, which is probably the biggest change. You know, the noise in my head is lowered. Just a great example. I was sitting with some fellows one day at breakfast, and I was just talking like I do. And one of them stops me and goes, "Lewis, what's it like inside your head? What's it like in there?" And I'm like, it's a mess. Because I was that guy. It's like, you know, you ever see those conspiracy theory, you know, boards like in the movies with all the pins and the string and the lines and the pictures and the, you know, there's a top. And that was how I thought of everything. You know, whether it was big, like, you know, my kidney transplant, or if it was small, like the right pen to buy for my little, you know, field notes notebook. Everything warranted that board. And it took me down a rabbit hole. But more importantly, on page 151, described it best. The less people tolerated us, the more we withdrew from society, from life itself, as we became subjects of King Alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened and became even ever blacker, ever becoming blacker. Some of us sought our sorted places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, we did. Then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen. Now, you tell me, I'm gonna tell you what they are, but just tell me, just, you know, not if you have your camera off, just turn your camera off for a second, even whether agree or disagree with me, if these sound familiar. Right? The four horsemen: terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Maybe it'll sound familiar. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. And to think about today, right? I cannot forget the past. You know, the Big Book talks about how it's one of the most valuable gifts, you know, that we can give. So today, you know, getting to speak here, it's sorely needed for me. It's sorely needed. Life is good, but life is still in session, right? I could tell you how all week anyone's asked me how I'm doing. You know, I start talking about how work is bonkers and I'm being pulled in a million directions, but holy crap, I'm not in the food. Holy crap, I got to have a great weekend, you know, having dinner with some friends from the fellows in this program, right? Getting to show up where I can. We have shown how we got from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? It's page 152. When I first got into these rooms, broken, you know, beaten into a state of reasonableness, like the Big Book talks about, right? I was on the brink of suicide, went to a therapist who sent me here, you know, and that whole process took a month, by the way, right? You know, that whole process, I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness, right? I had to get my ass kicked to finally go, all right, maybe I'll try something different. And when I first got in these rooms in that state, and I'm being given suggestions by people who I don't realize care about me and actually give a crap if I'm around, right? And I still go, right? Like this, like it says, right? Shall it be boring, stupid, and glum? I literally thought, am I still going to be funny if I'm abstinent? Am I still going to have a sense of humor? I hadn't even read this yet. This book has me pegged. Will I be as effective at work? You know, am I going to be as efficient? Am I going to get as much done? Because by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but being a bulldozer at the office, not that great. So, right, have you a sufficient substitute? Yes, there's a substitute. I'm going to sound like an infomercial, but wait, there's more. There is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that, right? It is the fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. So
Excuse
I spent
me,
36 plus years.
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Okay. Thank you so much, Mary. I spent 36 plus years doing things my way. Right? I spent 4 years from when I started my abstinence. I spent 4 years pushing the limits, right? Trying, staying abstinent, but like, I'm not going to listen to my sponsor when he says like, don't date. Guess what? I'm going to do it twice. Right. You know, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to take a road trip back home so fast. You know what? I'm going to give it a go. And guess what? I got to clean those up. But look at this amazing gift I've been given today, like you saw in those photos. This is not something that I willed into existence. This is not something I bent. You know, the whole thing of a vision for you, for me, is hope. Right? We are men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, right? We are never hopeless. You are going to meet these new friends in your own community, near you. Alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. If you had told me 7 years ago, you know, and I'm being brutally honest here, that I would give an absolute F about any of you, I'd say you're lying, right? You know, I desperately wanted to do things that were not involving groups, right? I wanted my therapist to just take care of this, like, what I'm making air quotes if you're listening to this, in-house, right? You know, let's just keep this between us. I'll pop in every Wednesday night and we'll knock this out and be good. And I've been given a greater gift, right, than weight loss, right? Being 100 pounder is the least interesting thing about this. The least interesting thing. To go, I mean, this is the room, this is the apartment where I sat wanting to finish it all. Where I scrolled through the phones, convinced, right, that no one wanted to talk to me. That no one cared after I had severed so many ties before. I moved to Los Angeles from Chicago with my wife at the time in 2012. I didn't come into these rooms until about 2016. That is a long time to be in that moment with the, you know, the shivering denizens, right? The mad realm, the chilling vapor, right? How that vapor thickened, becoming ever blacker. That's a long time to be in that. And thank God today that you guys have pulled me out. My spiritual experience wasn't like the bright light shining thing. You know, I literally, again, right, because I learned things the hard way, I had to be brought to my knees by it, right? Not even my knees. Honestly, I had to be put up by the neck against the wall. For me to decide that God was everything or nothing. There was a moment where, some of you may know this, some of you don't, maybe. I'm on my second kidney transplant. So that means at one point I lost one. And it's one that my brother gave me. It turns out that putting on over 100 pounds in less than a year is not good for a kidney transplant. I'm no doctor, but turns out it's not. And I sat in the emergency room. Damn it, I'm going to cry. Don't cry. Not right now. I'd never seen it more clear in front of me, right? That fork in the road is I saw it, right? I saw it. That God is going to be everything or God is going to be nothing. And I chose to call my sponsor. You know, I chose to call my sponsor and ask for help. And the beautiful thing is I continue to ask you guys for help. I continue to ask you guys for suggestion. I mean, even for the little things, right? It's easy to ignore the little things and go, this isn't enough. This is too small to bother someone with, right? I've stopped what I'm doing because I'm writing a very angry email. I don't know if any of you have done this before. You know, someone's disturbed me at work and I'm already clacking away and it's moving really fast. I type like this with two fingers. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But I'm typing away, right? Furiously, right? You know, the grouch and the brainstorm, you know, I'm already taking advantage of that dubious luxury of other men. Clack, 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 clack. And I'm ready. I look at it on the screen and I pause. And I call a fellow. And it's a simple thing. It's a simple phrase of, can I read this to you? And it's, you'd be surprised how often they say, dude, that's nuts. You got to bring that back. But I need to hear that. You know, the other day I was in a meeting and I got to share about how, you know, I was the treasurer for an intergroup. And there were days where I had to take care of intergroup business and I didn't want to go to the bank. I had fellows that I could call and go, I'd say, dude, I don't want to go to the bank. Will you go with me? Yes. And it seems really odd. I mean, when I first came in, a fellow showed me how to grocery shop. What? I thought this person was nuts. The whole time we're walking through this grocery store, and I'm so nervous because I keep banging the back of her ankles with the shopping cart, because all I kept thinking was like, what does she get out of this? You know, the fellow who on my first day said, I want you to call me every hour on the hour to tell me that you haven't eaten yet. To tell me that you haven't eaten compulsively yet. You know, the person who hears me out when they say, how you doing? I'm like, work is so crazy. I don't know if I can manage. And da, 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 and they remind me to breathe. Countless examples upon examples, right, of you guys consistently saving my life. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Right? In the 7 years I've been in this program, I've watched two men die from this disease. This is a killing disease. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Let me get my, excuse my French. Let me get, you guys have helped me pull my head out of my own ass, right? And point it towards God, right? And that's the only way I can help someone else do that. You guys have led me, right? You guys have been lights along that path, right? Turning up the dimmer switch for me to be able to have my own spiritual experience, right? Only then can I tell you how important this is to me, how this program has saved my life. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. You guys, there are so many incredible firsts to be had in this. Right? And they are scary sometimes. Right? Like I said, the first road trip, right? The first trip back home, you know, while you're in recovery, right? That first Thanksgiving, right? That first job interview, right? It's my first birthday, natal birthday, right? What am I going to do? There's cake. You don't have to do any of that alone. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. I mean, which is what more perfect place to discuss that than here? I grew up a certain religion. And because of the medical issues I had growing up, You know, I had this feeling of like, why me, why me? And I had incredible resentment towards the God I grew up with. And when my sponsor said, like, dude, it's one of your own understanding. Wait a minute, what? It doesn't have to be that. Now, mind you, right? I got to develop that relationship with that higher power, right? How do you develop any? How much time, Mary? Sorry, I see you on mute.
We're at the last minute.
Last minute?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, how do you develop any relationship with time? Spend some time with your higher power. I conversate in the car, God. That works for me. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. You're freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. We hear this prayer. We hear this closing prayer all the time in the rooms, right? And it's easy, right? I start thinking about what I got to do today. I start thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch, you know, what's on my work list, you know, to-do list. Oh, I got to pack for my flight tomorrow. I really do have to pack for my flight tomorrow. But all these things, right? But thank God for the pause today, right? To practice, not just to have gratitude, right? Not just write my gratitude list, you know, but gratitude in action. And my time is up. But today, right, this is gratitude in action. Me getting a chance to speak to you guys. And, you know, we'll connect. I'll throw my number in the chat. Feel free to hit me up. And that's what I got.
Oh, Lewis, thank you so much. You're adorable. And you're funny. You're still funny. But thank you for just sharing your amazing story and the blessings that come to us when we dive into this program. It's life and death for me. And these rooms and these 12 steps have given me a life beyond what I could ever have made up. And it just gets better and better. Thank you, God. Okay, so we will now open the meeting for questions or 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and the step being studied this week. We ask you to accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone, and I will call the raised hands in the order that I see them. And the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would our timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when the time is up? If the speakers ask a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. All righty. Oh, Annie, come on in.
I'm Annie. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I have never been to this meeting, and I am so grateful that I came this evening. And Lewis, your message is so clear and actually very beautiful and very inspiring. I think you knocked it out of the park. You did really. I'm so grateful that I came, and all I wanted to really do right now is thank you so much. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Okay, Mary S.
Hi, everybody. It's Mary. Thank you so much. I'm a compulsive overeater. Lewis, thank you. That was wonderful. You had me at the photos. I'm really, you know, the up and the down and the yo-yoing. You know, how many of us have gone up and then come all the way down and then gone up and then come right back down again? And you touched on such beautiful passages in the big book for me. You know, the terror, I forget the three, the terror, the bewilderment, the frustration, whatever those three were. And then you led it beautifully into talking about the fellowship and connecting with other people. And then you really, 164 is one of my favorite pages. I cannot get through that without feeling so much overwhelming gratitude for what God has given me and all of us in this life. There's one line where it says, And maybe you'll meet us along the path. It's earlier up on page 164. If only, I think if only, but we are on each other's path and we have intersected. So, and I have seen some people in three-dimensional, at the OA birthday party. And I'm so grateful that I came here tonight and heard your share. It was very inspiring. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. Okay, Haney.
Hi, honey, compulsive overeater. So happy to be here, and I'm so glad I got to hear your message. And I actually don't know that I've ever heard your story before, and I've seen you in the rooms for many years, so it was really nice and so relatable. That part where you're saying, like, I wonder if I'll still like be funny, like. I remember having those same exact thoughts. And I remember, like, in the beginning, like, going through withdrawal from the food took me about like 3 months. And I was not funny, you know? And I was really scared that, like, I would lose my sense of who I am. And that was a really, really scary thing, especially when you've been overweight your whole life, you know? And you're so dependent on your personality to kind of get you through, you know? And the truth is like, I got a chance to discover myself for who, you know, I am and who I'm becoming and not be tied into who I think everybody wants me to be. So I'll be okay in this world, you know? And it's a lesson I'm still learning, you know? I still like find myself in these questions of like, am I doing something for me, or am I doing it because I'm trying to get I'm self-seeking and I'm trying to get a reaction from people, you know? And I have conscious contact for me today, like with my higher power, means like when I'm taking action, like whose attention am I trying to get? Because many times I was always doing things to get someone's approval or attention or something, you know? And I just continue to learn so much. And the quicker I surrender, the better things get. But for me, a lot of times it has to come with a little bit of pain first. It just does. It takes me a while to wake up to, hey, you know, there's more. You haven't arrived and you're not gonna arrive. And but it's still the best life I've ever had because it's true and it's honest and it's not these manipulations or stories. So I'm just happy to be here and happy to hear your story. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Janet Z.
Hello. Hi, Sally. Janet Z, 100-pounder compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And Lewis, thank you so much. I have so many friends here in this room tonight, and it's really fun to see a bunch of people. And, when you were talking about have you a sufficient substitute for fill in the blank addiction? And yes, we have the fellowship. And I am so grateful for this fellowship that I don't have to do anything by myself again. I don't have to do anything alone. And, like Lewis says, people will take your hand and take you grocery shopping. And I'm surprised she didn't leave you when you ran over her ankle, though. People who hold your hand, people who stay up at night and talk to you, people who, in the old days, we used to go to coffee after the meeting and talk to newcomers. And we'd, go and grab a bite to eat after work and then go to our meeting and then take newcomers out for coffee, and that was, that was a really, fun, a really fun time in the program. And not that this isn't fun, but we're still mostly virtual. You know, we're getting more and more meetings in the San Fernando Valley and Los Angeles area, but most meetings in our intergroups are virtual still. And that's okay. That's what we've got today. And it's got its own charm and it's got its own conveniences. And I'm so grateful to this program. So incredibly grateful. You know, I look at your pictures and, you know, I think about, you know, I just keep, you know, these two pictures on hand that people swear aren't me. And I can assure them, yes, indeed, I lived in that body. And through the grace of God, I have been given neutrality and, you know, I've lost well over 100 pounds, and I'm just so grateful for the life I have today, which is one I wouldn't have even known to ask for. And I have so much fun in this fellowship. And, you know, the picture of us at the birthday party, I want a copy of that, Lewis. I mean, this is more, oh, there's the timer. This is more than Christmas for me, the birthday party. So thanks so much for your share, and great to see you.
Thank you, Janet C. Leslie K., come on in.
Thank you for your service, Sally. I really appreciate the people who are here tonight doing service. Lewis, in all the years I've been coming to these rooms, you are the first person to also have a personal shopper. I was taken to the grocery store too. And honest to God, my mind was blown. I had no clue about reading labels. And this is when I lived in Los Angeles, and it was just daunting to spend, you know, much time in there, because I always got the already made stuff and ran out the door, you know. And once I got to this program and found out there were labels that actually had ingredients on them and I might want to read them, that was like a mind-blowing thing. And the other thing was my sponsor saying, can you stay in your job for in the next half hour? And I said, well, of course I could do that. Anybody can do that. She said, okay, call me in a half an hour, click, and she'd hang up. So when you talked about the staying in your work, it reminded me of that too. You know, it's just these principled ideas that still are valuable today. I really love that about this program. And the last thing is when you are the shivering denizens of his mad realm. I wrote in my big book, because I always believe that if there's a word in the big book that my sponsees might not know, I look it up and I write it in my book. And denizens, I'm sure everybody except me knew this, but a person who inhabits or is a resident of a particular place has become naturalized to this place. And that's what it was like for me to be a compulsive overeater. I was so comfortable wearing my armor that when I took it off and I felt so naked, I had to stand in front of a mirror for years and look at my body, because I hadn't done that in a long time. And you guys taught me to love my body no matter what. And it allowed me to get into some acceptance of my body. So, Lewis, so many things you shared were just delightful. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you, Leslie. Okay, so we're going to stop the recording.